Welcome back, friends. This is the Good Midlife Podcast. I am Jim Nolan. He is Richard Kinchlow. I am coming to you tonight from Louisville, Kentucky. Seasonably spring weather, kind of cool. Got a little cloudiness. Might get a little rain tonight. It's going to get out of the way for a beautiful back end of the week. Richard, where are you reporting from tonight?
I am reporting from rainy Indianapolis. It's the rain that said your, I think it said it your way. It's a dreary blah day up here.
Life on the road in the Midwest is what that is.
It is, for yep. Sure.
Awesome. Well, thanks to everybody for listening. Got some great listens last week, and we've got a really good show tonight, I think. I think we got a lot of really fun stuff to talk about tonight. Before we get into it, thanks to everybody. Let me tell you, everybody, where you can catch us. You can follow us on Instagram at the Good Midlife Podcast. That's Instagram. Richard has a food blog. He's going to catch us up on his latest adventure in just a moment. He is Kinch and Crew on Instagram. You can also follow us on Facebook, or you can email us at thegoodmidlife@gmail.com with questions, comments, criticisms, concerns, or factual verifications that you're concerned that we may have missed. And as you know, facts are always fluid around here. With that, let's get into it. Richard, we start by talking about what happened last weekend. What did you do? Where did you go that was fun? You're in the middle of your alphabet eating journey. So I think you're on, what this week, H?
Okay. H, yep. Yeah, so this past weekend, I had a pretty eventful weekend. I was actually in London, Kentucky this weekend. And a shout out to Poor Boys in London, Kentucky, for being very hospitable, very nice place, nice bar downtown, UK bar. It was a karaoke bar, so it was kind of interesting. And I went down to London this weekend. I did a bike ride. I did the Red Bud bike tour, I guess, and did 34 miles on the bike. And then it's like you had a choice between 34, 60-some or 70-some, and then a full century ride. So I did the Lesser of the Evil. I forgot how hilly London, Kentucky is. The weather was perfect. It was a little chilly in the morning, but it turned out to be warm by the time we finished. And then came back home to date night and to the alphabet challenge, and we did H this week, and we did Harvey's. And apparently, my wife picked Harvey's. It used to be a cheese stand in Logan Street Market.
This is this is Australian food. Is that right? Is this Australian food? Is that correct?
Australian themed food. They have a lot of things going on there with Australian food. I'll say the service was very good. It's a very small restaurant. So you're basically, it kind of reminds me of what El Mundo was a little bit, with the basically in the front part, you're sitting right by the kitchen. And then the whole restaurant's basically the chef's table. The food was, it was like Singapore or Szechuan crab, pork rib, rib corn dish. I'll say it was interesting. I don't think I'll get it again. Maisie got the mushroom gnocchi. It was pretty good. They did do a great cheese board, and they had some really good cheese selections. We did a rattlesnake cheese, which is basically cheddar with, I think it was habanero infused, and it had a punch. It, like, first bite, it punched you in the face, which was really good. And then it was salami, and then we had some kind of herb cheese with it. But overall, it was pretty good. I'll be willing to try it again and try it out. So it was overall good.
All right. Elizabeth went there not too long ago, I think, for lunch, and just good enough, but not great, I think, was her sort of take on that. But I would try that. I would try it.
They probably need some tweaking. I'll say that. I'll be, yeah. They, like I said, the staff was really great. They know the food. They need to tweak the menu a little bit. Like, it was very small, but it was, I don't know if I just ordered wrong. The dish I had looked like it would have a lot of flavor, and it didn't have much flavor. which is surprising. It kind of, the best way to describe it was like a crab stew in thicker form. And yeah, it just didn't do it for me. But I mean, I'm willing to try it again for sure.
Okay, good to know. We went out to dinner twice this weekend. We had two proms. McKinley had two proms. So we had action both nights. The first night was the St. X prom. So we went out to dinner after we did pictures, went to Veronese, hadn't been there in a while. It's good. You know, I got the rockfish and it was good. Fine. Maybe I misordered. Maybe I could have done a little bit better on the ordering, but it was good. It was fine. Elizabeth got a salad with steak that was good. It's solid still. I would say not my favorite, but solid. And then Saturday night, we went to El Mundo on Bardstown Road. Have you been to that location yet, Richard? I know we love we love the Frankfort Avenue El Mundo. You referenced it a minute ago. We have not been to El Mundo.
No, it's like
we haven't been since they closed the one on Frankfort Avenue, and it was awesome. The atmosphere is more restaurant style. You know, you got a little bit better restaurant feel there. And we walked right in on a Saturday night at 6:30. They take reservations at this site, so that's awesome. There was a lot of stuff going on in town, so maybe they would have been busier, you know, on a regular night. But the food,
it was thunder. That might have helped things.
But the food was just what you remember. We got the Dippity Do, which is their chips and multiple dips. Amazing. I got the Chili Relleno, which is my favorite thing there. They have the best relleno in town with some bison meat stuffed in there. I'm telling you, if you're in Louisville, if you visit Louisville and you want some quality Mexican food, El Mundo, it's affordable, delicious. The margaritas were still frozen and still good. So put that on your list. It's still good. So we need to go back there.
See, I have to disagree with you. I don't think it's like I'll have to try it again. But last couple times I went, I did not think it was very good. Hmm. Now, that was at the old location, and I'm not the biggest fan of it, but I will try it again and then give you my opinion after I try it.
Okay. All right. Well, we're thumbs up on El Mundo. It's an old favorite, and we hadn't been in a long time, so that was very good. So we did that. Then we came back to the house and watched Thunder on TV while sitting in the hot tub, which is actually a really good way to do it because we missed all of the crowds. It was awesome. We could hear the rumbling of the fireworks off in the distance and just saw them on TV and had a cocktail and didn't have to drive or any of that mess. So it was quite good. So speaking of Thunder, the Kentucky Derby Festival has officially kicked off. I apologize, listeners. I promised some Derby picks this week. I did not quite get to it, so I'll have them next week. I promise you that. I did get to Keeneland on Sunday, so I watched a little bit of non-Derby related horse racing. Not a good day there. I bet on my phone on Saturday from Keeneland, and I had the best day I've had at Keeneland in years, and it was up $100. So pretty good day Saturday. But Derby Festival is happening. We've got the Derby coming up. I will have picks next week. I promise you guys that. I just didn't quite get to it this week. A couple of things to talk about with Derby-related stuff. Richard, are you going to get out and do anything? We're going to the Chow Wagon Friday night for OVW Wrestling. I cannot wait. I talked about it last week. We're going to go check it out. So if you're in town, come hang out.
I can't wait to hear about it. We will be out of town this weekend. So I can't wait to hear about it. We get back. I don't think I'm traveling next week, so I might venture out, do some things along those lines next week. I can't wait to hear about this Chow Wagon experience.
I haven't been in years. It's going to be awesome. Okay, speaking of Chow, what's the word on your boy, on Wings boy, Cole, my man?
We basically just have to, I think what we'll have to do is just give him a date and say, we need you to come on this time, and that will solve that. I'm just going to say it's just like we might have to do it on a weekend so we can help with the kid and stuff like that. But, yeah, I think we should be good. It's just like I don't know when we want to plan. You and I can talk offline about that. But he's okay. I think he's ready. I think he's a little nervous, but he's ready.
Okay, excellent. I am ready for that as well. We'll get that knocked out. Okay. So let's get into the meat of the show. I've got three things I want to talk about tonight, and we'll start with this one. I don't think we talked about this when the nominees came out, but the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame released the inductees for this year, this week.
And we did talk about that. We did go through the
list.
We did.
I couldn't remember if we did. Okay. So here's who got in, and we'll talk about who missed out, as well, but tell me how you feel about it all. We got Mary J. Blige. We got Cher, Dave Matthews Band, Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Kool & the Gang, Ozzy Osbourne, A Tribe Called Quest. Those were the vote ones. Now, I'll tell you, I think we talked about, we couldn't believe Ozzy wasn't already in there. So I'm here for that. Huge Dave Matthews Band fan, here for that. Tribe Called Quest, Q-Tip's voice is, he's one of the best rappers ever. They got to be in. And past that, I'm open to debate. What do you have?
Yeah, it's, I got to say, I don't think it's a very strong list. I mean, I think that it's like my opinion, they left off some pretty good bands, but it's just like they also threw in like Jimmy Buffett, MC5 with like Influence Award,
right,
or something like that.
Right.
Which is, or Big Mama Thornton and like John Mayley. And I love, well, I said it on the previous show, I love Tribe Called Quest. They're one of my favorite rap bands. And Dave Matthews, I mean, he's just a solid staple. I am dumbfounded Ozzy Osbourne was not in it before. I mean, I don't know why they took so long to get Ozzy Osbourne in. Probably because they were scared what he might do on stage, and maybe he's old and docile now. I don't know. But over, it's like Mary J. Blige is good, but it's just like Cher. I mean, it's, yeah, I can see it. It's, I mean, but was she, I mean, this might be dumb on me, but was Cher that influential in music? I mean,
yeah,
really? For Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Like, what? She had a couple good songs, but it's just like on the level of Hall of Fame level?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it gets at what really are we judging the criteria on? You know, she had a long career. She had, you know, pop hits with Sonny and Cher. She had a variety show. She had a massive comeback in the 80s. She broke she broke radio again with Believe in the 90s, and she's still touring in her 70s now. So if you like all of that, if that's your criteria, then she ticks that kind of a box. I think about, for me, and I didn't vote for her, I don't think, on my ballot. I definitely had Oasis on my ballot, and they didn't have the longevity of Cher, but when they had it rolling, they were the biggest thing in music, and they were crazy and wild, and, you know, they've got three albums that are just fantastic. And so I think, Oasis next year, they need to be in. The other one that was left off for me that I didn't vote for, and I fell into the trap, and I shouldn't have done this, because Lenny Kravitz should be in the Hall of Fame. And I fell into the trap that he got stuck. You know, Lenny Kravitz got stuck in his career, especially early on, because he couldn't get played on black radio stations because he was too rock and roll. And he didn't get enough respect in the rock community because he wasn't a white dude. And subsequently, he kind of fell through the cracks a little bit. But his music is fantastic. He doesn't have the biggest catalog, but his best stuff is really good. You know, Let Love Rule is a really good album. And Are You Gonna Go My Way is really good. He's got Are You Gonna Go My Way is still one of the most kick-ass songs you'll ever hear, ever.
Yeah,
one of my favorites. Yes. And so I think Lenny should
and
be
Always
in.
On the Run is always or
great song.
It's a great song. That
great
whole
song.
Album is, it's just like his first two albums are incredible. And Are You Gonna Go My Way is a great album too. I mean, his first three albums were incredible. And then I think when he did the American Woman cover for Austin Powers, that's when it kind of pigeonholed him a little bit, I think. And it's just like he kind of seemed to disappear a little bit.
Yeah,
so.
He came along too. He broke at a time when stuff was starting to get weird. You know, he was, he was really just a real rock and roll sort of singer making real rock and roll at a time when rock and roll had been hair bands. It had been Poison and Van Halen and GNR. And it was right before rock became grunge, which is totally different than what Lenny is. So he was, I think, being a black dude, you know, shaped some of that. And I think when he came along, shaped some of that. But in terms of quality of music, man, it's good. And he should be in.
Yeah, I saw him at Horde Festival back in the day. I mean, yeah, that tells you, like, I mean, and he came out, the crowd was, I mean, running everywhere. I mean, he was just, yeah, he was, I mean, his band was really good. He played almost every instrument on his albums, recording. I mean,
he
deserves to be in the album. I mean, it's just like in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Maybe it's next time. Can you get reinducted back in, or is
They'll put you back on. They'll put you back on. Yeah,
he
for
should
sure.
Be in for sure. It's like that, and even it's just like I know a lot of people have opinions about Oasis, but Oasis was really good and deserves to be in it as well.
Are the Gallagher brothers good humans? There's really no evidence to say that they are, but their music is damn good, and that's what this is about.
Yep. I mean, if that's the criteria, the Black Crowes don't even belong in the Hall of Fame either.
What effing rock band deserves to be in there? Rock and roll is littered with assholes and abusers of substances of all kinds. And
I
so,
mean, if asshole is the criteria, they just pick the biggest, probably a-hole on earth, Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah. But
so that, I mean, it's an interesting group. I don't think it's a very strong class, but at the same time is like it. I mean, it's still good music. I mean, it's a very interesting like arc of music.
Yeah,
I mean,
I totally
it
agree.
Really is. I mean,
and I
it's.
can't. I'm surprised Peter Frampton wasn't in already, because he was huge when he had his major, you know, career, the Frampton Comes Alive era. But then he's continued to work in a lot of different ways in terms of producing and soundtrack curation and things like that. Like, he's still really, really influential in music. So it's surprising to me that he wasn't already in.
Yeah. That's another one that it does kind of surprise me, but at the same time is like, it's just a, like I said, it's just a weird, weird list of people.
Yeah, I totally agree. But congrats to everybody. I like a lot of it. I'm glad Dave Matthews got in, one of my very favorites. Glad Tribe got in. They're amazing. And Oasis and Lenny, we will see you next year, I hope. Now, last week we talked about something on the show briefly. Actually, we didn't talk about it. I teased it. I talked about you off the recording. And I said we'd learn a little bit more about Richard this week. So we're going to jump into that. So, Richard, are you into astrology?
No, not that I'm aware of. No.
All right. Excellent. This is good. Now, in your world, in your corporate world, have you come across personality tests? Have any of those kinds of things, like Myers-Briggs,
yes,
Enneagram,
yes,
and stuff like that?
We took the DISC test last year, actually.
Okay.
Yep. Sure did.
Big deal.
And I've taken multiple like DISC tests. I think I've taken it. This is my third or fourth time. I've done a handwriting test.
Okay.
I've done a lot of different ones. So yes, I have done quite a few.
How closely did those tests come to like telling you what your personality is in terms of being accurate about that?
Well, it was very accurate. I think there's some variation on it, but overall it's pretty spot on, I would say.
Okay. So I've done Myers-Briggs and I've done Enneagram, and I've done neither of those through my work. I know that they're like in high up corporate things, they do these kinds of things. And I think they're pretty close. I'm an Enneagram 3, I think. And I think it pretty much is right on for what I am, generally speaking. But all of that is just taking a test, answering questions to determine what your personality is. Now, I know someone, I'm not going to say names, but I know someone who's involved in corporate culture who has gotten onto human design. Are you familiar with human design?
I am not.
Okay. So this is a blend. It's kind of a new age practice. Proponents describe it as a holistic self-knowledge system. Okay. No research or anything to determine the effectiveness of it, but it combines astrology, Kabbalah, I Ching, multiple different like sort of fruitcakery spiritual practices, and puts it all together, and it will tell you your personality type based upon simple data of your date of birth, your time of birth, and your place of birth. And this has become popular again from a writer named Jenna Zoe. She's a, if you look her up online, it says she's an internet figure, internet celebrity. She does not have a Wikipedia page. However, she has written books and has an app on this. And there are many apps on this because I put our data into a couple of different apps, and it's generally the same. So are you ready to do this? Are you ready to figure out how all this stuff fits together? Let's see what we got. Okay.
Sure.
All right.
Let's try it.
All right. Starts out with your energy type. Now, they have four different energy types, and one's a blended energy type. You've got the generator, the manifester, and one is the reflector, and one is like a projector or something like that. Okay. Richard, okay. you are a generator based upon your date of birth and time of birth and place of birth. You create good energy. When you're excited, you are lit up and full of life, and this energy spills into everyone around you.
Okay.
You think that's right?
Sure.
Okay. I am the blended manifesting generator, which is multi-passionate. I don't choose one lane and stay there. I'm all over the place. And I am here to chart a previously unseen life path. Do you think that hits for what I am?
Sure.
Okay. All right. All right. Now, the next one is there's a numeric scale here. Okay. And it's your profile. And you and I both hit the same profile numbers. We're 2/4. And the first part is how we see ourselves. And the second is how other people see us. Okay. And so this is called, we are the easy breezy genius. Okay. Well, now.
Hell yeah,
we are.
Duh.
I will tell you that I put this into another app today, another free app, and it called me and you the hermit opportunist, which is nowhere near as
opportunist.
Hermit opportunist, not as sexy as easy breezy genius. So that's what we're going to go with.
Yeah, we're easy breezy geniuses for sure. Genii.
Right. Genii. So yeah,
for sure.
The first part is how we perceive ourselves. So you and I both would perceive ourselves as being easy breezy. And the genius is how other people see us. Okay.
Okay.
So, you know, our two, the natural, certain things that you're just naturally good at. And we don't want to be disturbed when we're in the zone. I think that's kind of right.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
And then we're the people person, gifted at bonding. And it says, quote, the universe will bring your dreams to your door via the people you make connections with.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Interesting.
This is a quote that I'm not sure about. Your physical body can exhaust easily. Watch it, Jenna Zoe. 2 years ago, I drove 2,000 miles around Utah and hiked 70 miles in a week. Just watch yourself. My body's fine. I used to be a legend in this town for being able to go to work, go out till 2, drive back home, and do it again the next day. Ask people. They'll tell you. Watch it, Jenna. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I rode my bike 500 miles before and partied afterwards. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Just watch it. Sorry, that was rude, but still watch it.
She's not listening. I'm not worried about
it. It's fine.
Her.
It's fine. Okay. Your gifts are innovation, focus and precision, and a love of life.
Okay.
My gifts are a love of life, enthusiasm, and truth-telling with effervescence.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Now, it has a thing here called the incarnation cross. And I didn't even write down all the shit that it says, but it has something to do. It's just what the incarnation cross is. The title of it is funny. And so, Richard, you can look this up if you want, but you are a right angle cross of the unexpected number 4. And
right
right angle cross of the unexpected number 4. And I am the right angle cross of penetration on 2. So I don't know what the hell any of that means. There's stuff that means. I mean, Richard, this is bananas. There's so much stuff in there. Like it breaks down. I can't even get into all of it, but I'm going to get into like the best way to eat or your best digestion. It even tells you that. Like yours is eating your food warm. Do you like your food warm, or are you cool with it cold?
Food is food. I don't care, but I don't care.
Mine is,
if it's good, I don't give two shits.
I'm surprised I didn't get the hot food, because that's like one of my biggest gripes. It's like, come on, everybody, the food's ready. Let's not stand around talking over it. Let's sit down and eat it.
Yes. Yeah. If you made something, it's like, yes, for sure.
Mine is in a calm atmosphere, which, I don't know. I mean, listen, I go to restaurants. I stand up and eat lunch in a pharmacy. It's fine. Elizabeth's was in soft light. And she's like, that's exactly right. You know how Jim turns on bright lights all the time? And I don't like that. And I was like, I think maybe that could be learned behavior, just generalized, you know, what you like. But okay.
I don't like overhead lights much.
Yeah.
I can appreciate that.
She doesn't either.
Fluorescent lights. Yeah. I hate them.
I kind of dig some industrial lights sometimes, but that's okay. That's just me.
Because you work in a pharmacy.
Yeah, well, I got to be able to see some. It is kind of like my
you worked
life.
In Walmart, and you work in a pharmacy. That's all there is.
You're right. That's an excellent point. Excellent point. So anyway, that's a nutshell of that. Do you feel like that hit for you as far as like where you are, like what you are, or not?
I'm going to have to do a little bit more research on this. But yes, I would say easy breezy genius is pretty spot on.
Yep.
Overall.
Well, I think it does hit on a lot of stuff. Now there's some stuff that's kind of out there, but I do think it's interestingly correct. Like a lot of the things. Now a lot of it is in a vague way where you could apply that to some way. Like I'm sure that you could take this to people who didn't maybe have the same profile and they might see themselves in the same way.
Yeah.
But of course the idea is to find your gifts, find where you're going to be the most successful. I did this with a couple of coworkers on one of the other sites today. And one of the coworkers, it was pretty good about, and the other one, it was just dead wrong. It could not have been much more wrong. So certainly not infallible, but interesting. And anyway, I think it is a situation, a thought process that is gaining a little bit more traction in the world today. So if you're into human design, let us know. If you're not into human design, maybe we've taught you something today. Maybe you're going to check that out. Maybe you're going to look at your human design. Try one of the free apps. They're kind of fun. And like I say, it gets a lot more detailed than what we got into. We could really dig, like one of the ones about our person, like the easy breezy genius thing was about like trusting your gut and your intuition, and you're going to feel a yes or a no in your gut, and you should go with that because we have really good intuition, apparently, according to the stars and things like that.
I think my wife would say that's not true.
Well,
based on how long it took me to buy a car.
Oh, yeah. Well, but it also said that if the answer is not clear to you, sit on it for a minute.
Yeah. So, I'm sure. Yes. And that drove my wife crazy.
Yeah.
No right. doubt about it. Hated every minute of it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all kind of quackery, but it's pretty fun and interesting. I actually want to dismiss it all because I'm a science-based guy, but I can't ignore, you know, some of the anecdotal similarities. So it's interesting, and it's a super complex process. All like it would take some real study to actually understand how it all fits together. So
have you taken did you say you have never taken a DISC test or anything along those lines?
I've never done DISC. I've done Myers-Briggs and I've done Enneagram.
DISC was it's what we did was we learned how like what we were and how to use those skills with people like in other like I guess quadrants of the DISC.
Yeah.
It's like dominating, influencing, And I can't remember. I always forget what S and C are, but I can look it up. But yeah, it was pretty fascinating overall.
Yeah. I think all that stuff is pretty interesting, and you can learn a lot about yourself. And I think there's risk there at pigeonholing yourself sometimes too. But I think it's all very interesting to kind of know, to reinforce like what your natural inclination is, to know that it's kind of a type, and you know, that's kind of a thing. So,
yeah, for sure.
It's
for
fine. Sure. I've really embraced my Enneagram 3 because it's about like being an achiever and being a, you know, doing well at things, being an achiever, but also really wanting to be in front of the spotlight, you know, be wanting to be recognized for what you do, wanting to be, you know, the star. And I used to think that was a bad thing, but now I just accept that that's kind of part of my personality. I mean, for God crying out loud, I'm doing a podcast that's ridiculously self-indulgent, but I'm doing it. So that fits right in. Like Elizabeth and I are like, she's a one, which is three adjacent, except she wants no part of the spotlight. She wants to be in the background. Otherwise, we're pretty much the same as far as wanting to excel and being driven to be successful and things like that. So I think those things are fun. And I've just sort of embraced it. Like if there's a microphone, I'm going to take it and not be ashamed about it, because that's just what I am at this point in life.
Yeah. Well, get on up, isn't it?
That's right. All right. All that stuff's fun and silly. I'd love to hear anybody else that does it. And you know, you should download a free app and do it with Maisie tonight. I'd be interested to hear how that turns out.
Yeah, I will discuss that with her and see what she thinks.
There you go. All right. Well, this week, transitioning to a totally different topic, but you travel, I travel. We sometimes take a ride share in town, and Uber released its 2024 index of things left behind in Uber vehicles this week. Did you see this list?
I did not see this list, no.
Okay. What do you think the most common thing left in an Uber is?
I'd have to probably say telephones.
That's what I would say, too. It's number six. Number one is clothing. Clothing, luggage, headphones, wallet, jewelry, phone, camera, tablet or book, laptop, and vape. Okay? So all those are pretty common things, right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The most forgetful cities are Miami, LA, Atlanta, Houston, and Dallas.
That's not surprising me in the least.
I mean,
some of those.
Listen, Miami, Atlanta, and Dallas are world renowned for their strip clubs, and they are also three of the top five. I mean, put two and two together, guys. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So. I'm not surprised. That's just like clothing is like, I think that's kind of interesting. Like, yeah, it's like I could see that. What have you left in an Uber? Have you left anything in an Uber?
You know, I can't remember that I have personally left anything in an Uber. I'm pretty sure I've left leftovers, food, which I would think has to be. How is that not in the top 10? Because I know I've left food in an Uber before. But I was on a trip in Chicago one time, and I don't think this was an Uber. I think it was actually a cab with a girl I was dating at the time. And we had gone out on a Saturday night, and we got back to the hotel, and she realized she'd left her phone in the Uber. And now this was pre-iPhone era where you can't track your phone, right? Like, this was not an iPhone. This was a BlackBerry. Remember the BlackBerry?
Excellent.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Created so you can do business and send emails. And by the end of the aughts, every woman in their 30s had a BlackBerry so they could do Facebook posts on the run. Remember that era?
Yeah.
I sure do.
Oh, yeah.
So she left her BlackBerry in, I think, a cab. And so we got back to the hotel. I was using like a flip phone or a slide phone or something that was nowhere near that fancy because I was a Facebook noob and I really didn't care. But we called the phone and some woman had picked it up. The next cab rider had picked it up and had it. And so we just had to go pick it up at her hotel the next morning with somebody who was staying, fortunately, like, you know, four blocks away in Chicago. So it worked out great. But that was the end of a really, really weird night that maybe there were some red flags that I should have seen, but I was recently divorced and I was stupid. So
red flags meant nothing.
Red flags be damned, carrying on. What about you? What have you left in a car?
Well, I'll say this, and this is since I travel a lot, I get rental cars a lot, and it's a little bit different from an Uber, but I left an iPad in my rental car, and good luck trying to get a hold of anybody at a car rental place that's at the airport. It's damn near impossible. And this is a shout out to National, Enterprise, Avis, Budget, whoever. It's just like, give us a direct phone number so we can call and not have to make a claim and not have to do anything. So anyway, I left an iPad in a Uber, or not in an Uber, in my rental car. And I started pinging it, kind of like you do with your iPhone if you lose it. And it was not at the car rental place. It was at some location over in South Louisville at a warehouse. And apparently that National or whoever had it didn't clean it well enough and didn't realize there was an iPad in the back seat. And the next person came in, got the car, went off. Luckily, they were able to call the guy and say, hey, this guy's left his iPad. And I was able to track it and go find it and go get it. It was a work iPad, which it's like that. I'm glad I found it because I would have had to owe the company like $500.
Yeah,
or
that's
$1,000 or whatever.
Bad situation. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, and I kind of was a little pissed off at the car rental place. Like, we don't have it. And I was like, well, I know you don't have it because here it is. I can see exactly where it is. Can you tell me how that happened? And they just looked at me like I was the big idiot.
Yeah, that is no joke, because I actually had a situation like that with a rental car last spring. On spring break, we went to Austin and out to Big Bend and turned my rental car in Austin, got on the plane to come home, unpacked my bags at home, and realized I'd left my sunglasses in the car, which is really no big deal if you just grab $10 Target sunglasses. But these were prescription Ray-Bans that were progressive, so they're bifocal. So, you know, I kind of didn't want to have to buy another pair and spend the money on that. Not a huge deal, not the laptop, but, you know, a couple of $100 for a pair of good sunglasses. And I'm telling you, you are speaking the truth about trying to get a hold of somebody. I called, nobody could answer. I got routed to a lost and found who they didn't know what the hell I was talking about. I mean, those sunglasses are lost and gone forever. I mean, what did you do with them? Did you donate them to the Lions Club for their, you know, sunglass drive, whatever? I don't know, but it's don't leave anything in the rental car. That is number one.
That is the lesson.
Sweep your rental
car.
I'm
surprised you got anything. If you've lost anything in an Uber, my father-in-law's girlfriend left her cell phone and when we came back from Mexico in the Uber, and apparently it took like 3 or 4 hours for them to get it back to her. So yeah. It's at least you like, the good thing is with an Uber, you got a phone number, you can call somebody directly. Whether they pick up that phone or whatever is a different story, but I mean, it's interesting, like how difficult car rental places make it for getting anything, yeah. Like
recovering lost
returned.
Items. It shouldn't be hard. They should just clean it out. Have a lost and found at the airport. But I mean, like, you can't get a hold of anybody. Like, if you know this, if you're calling to try to rent a car or whatever, or you have a question, you can't get a hold of a human at the airport. It's all going through a nationalized, centralized thing.
It's,
so
it's
colossal,
absurd.
Colossal pain in the ass. Do you want to guess? Let's go through some of this Uber stuff, because this is funny. I want to read some of the best things out here for everybody. Do you want to guess what the top lost car keys were in Ubers last year?
Like what model cars?
What brand? Yep. You're never going to guess this.
Dodge.
Mini Coopers.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, all due respect to Mini Cooper drivers, don't you think there's a flaky factor that runs through that maybe
Apparently there is.
it doesn't, it
Apparently there
seems like
is,
it
my friend.
might strike. Okay, let's do some of the weird stuff. This is some of the weird stuff they listed. A frontal hair toupee. Tell me which one you think is your favorite. Hot sauce and a breathalyzer together. Let's see, two containers with spiders.
Okay.
Let's see here. A candle that says, "See you in court." A gray tub of
Interesting.
surgical implants.
Okay.
Let's see here. There's some really good stuff here. Contraceptive plan B from Costco and a Baby Bliss Pro massager machine. How about that? That's weird.
That's a good one. That's interesting.
A fart sensor. No one knows what that is. I don't know about that. A panty liner and $1,000.
Okay.
They got
Interesting.
one saying someone left some lotion or my thong.
Okay. Wow. All righty.
This might be my favorite. Undergarments, bread, pack of ham, and mayo.
All the same over.
All in the same one, yes.
That's great. That's great.
A paternity test. WWE Championship belt. How about that one?
That's great. That's great.
Jeep Liberty engine.
Wait, what?
A Jeep Liberty engine, it says. Maybe in the trunk.
How
I
does
don't know.
that
How does
happen?
that fit? I don't know. I don't know. I
I mean, they're
might have.
small little engines, but it's like, what kind of Uber was that?
I don't know. I've driven a Jeep Liberty Man and it does not have much of an engine. I had that as a rental
No,
car
it does
once. It is
not.
bad.
No.
It is bad.
Trash.
I might have left my garden fence in the trunk. What does that even mean? Cooler with meat. Yeah, what's your favorite on that list?
The hams, the ham, the
Yeah,
mayonnaise.
the undergarments and sandwich fixings. That's the best.
It's like what's the plan here? What are we doing? So,
So I got a pack of bras and some ham sandwiches. You ready to rock? Let's go.
yeah. I mean, hey, it's party time. Let's go.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just like weird, 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 weird people out there.
And you, yes, I had a colleague I used to work with who would say, "People are weirder than anyone," and I think that's apropos. People are weird, dude.
Yeah,
People are weird.
that sums it up for
Yep.
sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, everybody be careful in the Ubers and the cabs and
And don't leave anything in a rental car, you'll
and
regret it.
sweep the rental car, man, because you're never getting that back. That's a fact. And with that, anything on TV or movies you're watching before we get out of here?
I have I'm one episode away from True Detective's Night
Night
Country
Country, yeah.
finishing, and it better get better is all I have to say.
It won't.
Very, I don't even know how to explain it. Finished Masters of Air finally, and I texted you earlier this.
You did?
I will give that show a 4 out of 10.
That is
I thought it
weak.
was extremely disappointing. It's like it just, I think it, I've read the book, and if I was the author of that book, I'd be very disappointed the way that turned out. I mean, and I know it's really hard to probably do a whole show around like guys flying in the air, but I mean, Memphis Belle did a better job of it, and that movie's 30 years old. And I have to also point out the special effects in that show are amateur hour. Jurassic Park, which is a 30-year-old movie, has better special effects. That's just my
Interesting.
opinion. And
Interesting.
then so very disappointed. 4 out of 10. It's also in the trilogy of the Band of Brothers. It's definitely third out of, and it goes Band of Brothers, Pacific, and now Masters of Air.
Got
Just
it.
not very good. So, and then I'm trying to think what else. And then we're watching Palm Royale,
Okay.
which is interesting. The last episode was not very good. So, and oh, one other thing, we are watching Manhunt, which
Oh
is
yeah.
also on Apple,
You talked about that last
about
week.
Lincoln.
Yeah, yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah.
It's like it reminds me of, Maisie put it great, the best way. It's like a PBS, like, did a movie. It's not very good. It's, the acting's not very good. But yeah, the one actor, the guy who plays Staunton is really good, but everybody else is kind of amateur hour.
Well,
so,
you kind of talked me out of that one. I wanted to watch it, but there's so many other things
I
want to get to.
I think you should still watch it. I'd like to read the book.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'd like to read the book. I think that might be Apple. It's just like, I think Apple's still in this infancy stage of making shows and stuff like that. Some of them are really good, like Ted Lasso. And then some of them just like, I don't know what it is, but I'm kind of disappointed in their movie collection or series so far.
Well, I think it speaks to kind of how hard it is to transition a book to the screen, regardless of whether it's big screen or small screen. You just talked about Band of Brothers just not hitting, you know, book to screen. And
Band of Brothers did.
I'm not Band of Brothers. Sorry. Masters of Air.
Terrible.
Well, and so Elizabeth wants, she reads a ton and she wants to watch shows or movies that are books that she loves and that they transition to the screen. And we'll catch some sometimes that are good, but we're on this heater of them not being very good. Like Expats, I didn't think was great. Apples Never Fall was okay, but not great. Like, I can see how that would be a good book, but it just didn't. The conversion from book to screen just didn't hit. You know, so I can see that. I felt that way about Killers of the Flower Moon. Like, it's hard to take a good book and make it a good movie.
Yeah. Now, it's like, I think Shogun is a book.
It is.
And
it is.
I am that is next on my list. I'm trying to get Night Country out of the way and just figure out like what happens. And I am very, it's like everybody raves, like some people are saying it's the best show they've seen in the past 5 years, 10 years. So I'll be interested to see how good it is. So, but yeah, I think there's a theme like post pandemic or in pandemic movies coming out of the pandemic, like now that we're in this post world. There's been a lot of misses, of misses on TV shows. And but you're also right in books translating into movies.
Well, prestige television used to just be elite, right? You would get one or two elite series on HBO. You get one or two elite series on Showtime. You'd have somebody on cable who was killing it, like FX with The Americans.
Yeah.
And now you've got, it's saturated, right? Like you've got,
yep.
Netflix, and you've got Hulu. Prime, and you've got Hulu, and you've got Peacock, and you've got Max, and you've got you know Apple. There's so many platforms and so many different ideas, which is awesome. Like, I love the idea of people getting to tell their story and getting it to the screen. I want more. It's what I wish we had more of in the movies. We actually get it now more in series, but with quantity, you sometimes dilute the quality. But the best ones are going to hit. And I do really think Shogun, like you said, I'm about halfway through it, and it's one of the best things I've watched. I won't say it's the best, but it's one of the best in the last 5 years, I think.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, because it's like that, especially I was waiting to hear from my brother-in-law and his, like when I said 4 out of 10, like I did that a little bit for like to see how we would react.
Yeah.
And he hasn't reacted. Now, he might have missed the email, because we talk about a lot of series. We like a lot of shows. We read a lot of similar books and stuff like that. And it was just like, how did you miss? Like, I think I read that Leonardo DiCaprio and Scorsese are talking about doing The Wager. And
they
it's
are.
Just like that. And that will be interesting. Like, how do you, and River of Doubt potentially. Like, I think Leonardo DiCaprio is talking about doing River of Doubt.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it's like, there's some, like, and I think it's honestly, it's just like, I think, for example, like Netflix does shit like documentaries really, really well.
I agree.
Whereas other like TV services don't do it as well. Max does it, or HBO Max, whatever you want to call it, does certain things really well. Series particularly, like when they go in big. I mean, just watch Game of Thrones and you'll see how big HBO goes in. So I'm not saying it's just like it's Apple's fault. It could be, because like I said, it's like, and what surprised me about Apple was that in Masters of Air, that was Spielberg and Hanks, the same group who did Band of Brothers in the Pacific. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's very disappointing overall. So anyway.
Well, I don't have anything else really new to talk about watching. I'm in Shogun. I watched that. I'm working on that. I think it's really good.
Are you still on Fargo? Are you still watching Fargo?
Yes, we're working through season two of Fargo. We've taken a little bit of break from that because Elizabeth wanted to take a little break. So we're watching a little of that. We started, this is a couple of years old, but we started Dr. Death.
We watched those.
I remember watching the first episode or two, but we've restarted the first season, and so we're working through that. It's good. It's kind of networky, but I still think it's good. And there's a second season out now that so I want to see that. So I'm enjoying that quite a bit. So everybody's probably already seen that, but it's
speaking
a fascinating
of a network
story.
Show, and I know we need to wrap this up, but a network show. Did you ever watch Hannibal?
I tried it, and it was terrible.
I thought it was real. I was surprised that was on NBC during primetime TV.
Yes, yes.
And I liked it. I thought it was, I think they went a little over the top with the gore, so to speak. But I thought it was a very well done series for the time period. It was like pre-Netflix kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden it was just like, I thought it was really good. I thought Clarice that came out on CBS like 2 years ago was terrible.
That's the one I'm thinking of. I'm thinking about Clarice on CBS. That's the one that was awful. Yeah. I did not watch Hannibal on
Hannibal's on it was NBC. On Hulu. I think you can now rent it on it's I think it's one of the best series like on network TV I've seen in a long time. And I think you need to watch it's like you might have to buy it now, but it's worth it. It's well worth it. It's dark. It's very, very dark. And it has great actors, and it's Larry Fishburne's in it, Gillian Anderson, a bunch of what's his name, it's just a great series. It's one of the better ones.
I would like to check that out because I did watch Clarice and that was total ass. I didn't like that.
It was awful. It was like CSI meets like Hannibal Lecter.
It was
so
bad.
Yes.
Quickly so, before we get out of here, Sasquatch Sunset opened in the theaters this weekend. Have you seen the trailer for this?
No, I'll have to watch it.
Everybody watch the trailer for this. It's absurd. I don't know if I... Listen, I'm going to watch this when it's on streaming and I can watch it in my house. I'm not going to go to the theater and watch it. There's no dialogue in it. It reminds me a little bit of a more sophisticated version of Caveman. Remember that movie that was on HBO all the time back in the day?
Yeah.
But it's about this family of Sasquatches out in the wilderness just being filmed. And it's got Jesse Eisenberg and Riley Keough. There's actually a couple of real actors in this. It was a Sundance included film that didn't win awards, but it just opened this week. And I wasn't real familiar with it. I saw something about it and I watched the trailer today and I was kind of blown away by like, this is a real movie, huh? All right. Sasquatch Sunset. Check out the trailer. If anybody's seen it, get at me. I want to hear how this is. And with that, it's time to wrap. I think this is a good show tonight. I think we had a lot of fun and back to regular format and having a lot of fun. So, Richard, thanks again for jumping on tonight, doing the thing that we always do. I love this show. We have so much fun. Again, I'm an Enneagram 3. I want to just keep talking on the mic. I'm going to keep talking on the mic. Thanks to you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. I hope you guys have a great week. Hope everybody's getting ready for Derby here in Louisville. And if you're not in Louisville, you should be watching the Derby on TV. I hope you have a Derby party. I hope you make some mint juleps, get your mint simple syrup going, make some good treats. Have a hot brown, have a pimento cheese sandwich, something, country ham and biscuits, something that we do down here in Kentucky. So get after that. Richard, anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
Nope, all good. Everybody have a good weekend and week coming up, and look forward to talking to you again.
Awesome. Sounds good. We're getting out of here. We're going to keep living our best midlives. You keep living yours.